You're listening to All Action Sports Radio.
This is the Dingo.
Justin Barsha.
Gus Kenworthy.
Kristen Moore.
Paul Rodriguez, a.k.a. P-Rod. And you are listening to All Action Sports Radio. Peace.
Ho, ho, ho. Welcome to All Action Sports Radio. This is our holiday show, and it's a good show. But first off, we want to give a big shout-out and a big congratulations to Mick Fanning winning the ASP World title in dramatic fashion. His back-to-back, it was phenomenal. All I can say was it's absolutely phenomenal. Kelly Slater denied number 12, but he did win Pipeline Masters. And John Florence, Triple Crown, an historic day, week in surf at Pipeline. And so from all of us at All Action Sports Radio, congratulations, Mick. This is our show, and we have a good one. I mean, seriously, this is a fantastic show. Jason Weingant is coming on with breaking news. We talked to him a little bit earlier, and he'll be on in just a little bit, but he has some breaking news in the world of moto. You want to stick around and listen to that. And I am pleased to have back producer-director Richard Yellen. He's come back to All Action Sports Radio to talk about Sine Qua Non, The Psychology of Big Wave Surfing, a documentary he did with big wave surfer Greg Long. And you know, I watched it, and I got to tell you, it is deep. It's the kind of thing that when you watch it, you don't really understand why guys go out and do 100-foot waves. It's kind of like a death wish, but you kind of get a better insight as to why they do it. And this is a great documentary, and you definitely want to stick around and hear what Richard Yellen has to say about Greg Long. It's really, really good stuff. And, of course, Sweetgrass Productions, talking about their new film. It won the best film at last week's Powder Video Awards. Deservedly so. What a beautiful, beautiful film. I can't say enough about Valhalla. You can check out the trailer on All Action Sports Radio on our Facebook page and our website. It is just amazing. Man, words can't describe that opening sequence and some of those sequences that they shot. I know it must have took them forever to get it, but it is absolutely fantastic. And, of course, we'll be meeting up with Ryan Simmons, our resident surf expert, to talk about Mick Fanning, how he bested Kelly Slater, and what this means in the world of surf. We'll find all that out later in our show. And I'm pleased to announce Age of Aquarius, guest we had on and way, way, way back when All Action Sports Radio was just a podcast before we got to radio. Age of Aquarius, local band, came on our show, and they have a new album that just came out, Sight for the Blind, and Kai will be introducing their latest single, which will be our song of the week here at All Action Sports Radio. Now, Jeff Schmuck, our resident ski expert, couldn't be here, but he wanted to drop a couple of gems on everybody from 2013, and I'm going to do my best to do my best Jeff Schmuck imitation here. All right, so in the world of skiing, let's see, we talked about the best year in skiing. Jeff Schmuck gave it to Tom Walsh. He said he once again posted a series of incredible results on the competition circuit, including first place at FIS World Championships, and he won Free Skier of the Year Award. So Tom Walsh had the best year in skiing, and the worst year in skiing he gave to Bobby Brown, undoubtedly because of the series of injuries that Bobby had and that plagued him, you know, throughout the 2013 season. So that Bobby Brown had the worst year in skiing. And skier to look forward to in 2014, although it's anyone's game going into the Olympics, his favorite is Nick Gepper. And I concur with that. Nick is on a tear, and I'm looking forward to Nick killing it in the Olympics. So that's from Jeff Schmuck to all our listeners, because he was stepping on a plane and couldn't get with us here at All Action Sports Radio. But up next, we have our man, Jason Weingant, RacerX online editor, with some breaking news here on All Action Sports Radio. All right, we're going to segue into one of my favorite parts of the show. It's Jason Weingant, RacerX online editor. He also hosts the TV broadcast of Lucas Oil AMA Motocross and the GNCC series. Jason, happy holidays to you, my man.
Yeah, same to you guys. Coming together.
Coming together. I'm a little sick, so bear with me, Jason. I'm trying to get through this cough and cold season. Listen, you got some breaking news for me? What's happening in the world of moto?
Well, the big rumor is that Ken Roczen has broken his arm. And won't be able to make it to Anaheim 1.
Oh, wow. That is big news. That on the hills of Millsap? Wow, that is big news.
I don't know what it is about this December. It has been a record. We got a couple of sources who would know that I've heard it from. I think the news is going to come out officially via KTM. So we'll, as far as the severity of it and how long it's out and all that stuff, we'll wait until his bosses weigh in. But everything I've heard indicates this is something that has happened.
So like we talked about last week, having a backup writer on standby is kind of progressive. Starting to make sense now.
Oh, excellent point, Wes. You're right. Maybe the groundbreaking idea of having a writer on standby, maybe that is a good move.
I mean, you think about it. KTM, they already lost Davey Millsap to a knee injury, right?
Yep.
Savatgy suffered a broken wrist. You know, he's out. I mean, that guy, he was a rookie of the year for 2013. So I think it makes a lot of sense to have that backup rider. Again, groundbreaking. And as far as injuries, what about Marvin Musquin?
Yeah. Musquin. Okay, so that makes, what, four injured KTM riders. Savatgy, Millsaps, Musquin, Roczen. Yeah, he's got a torn ACL, so that you can't heal up quickly enough to be back in time for any Supercross. So I don't think you'll see Musquin until May. When Lucas Oil Motocross begins.
So what do they do? What does KTM do now?
Well, the Roczen situation, I don't know how long he's going to be out. This might not be that bad. If he, say, misses the first race or two, I don't think it's enough, but you're going to bring in a replacement for that. Musquin will miss all of 250 Supercross, so I think they'll bring in a replacement for Musquin. I bet you'll hear about that shortly.
But who do you think they can bring in? Who's out there right now?
Well, I'm just going to connect some dots. At the Monster Energy Cup a couple months ago, they gave a privateer kid a shot on KTM. They just gave him kind of like a one-race deal, Austin Politelli. Then they picked up Dean Ferris instead for that position. Now they've got another opening. I wouldn't be surprised if they maybe give Politelli another call. They've got to be scrambling down there right now.
Well, let's talk about Politelli. I mean, he was signed and then dropped unceremoniously, by the Slayton factory. I mean, what the hell happened to that kid? I mean, listen.
Yeah, they already have a replacement for him, too.
It was kind of like a jab at him. Without showing any disrespect to Austin, the team has decided it will be better for the future of Slayton Racing and for Yamaha to keep moving forward without Austin. And with an exclamation mark, we wish Austin the best. He pissed somebody off, didn't he?
I suppose something bad went down there, but if you're going to wish the guy the best, the factory Red Bull KTM, you pretty much got your wish then.
So how does this bode well for Politelli?
Yeah, I think it might. As soon as Musquin went down and the word was that he was out, people started thinking replacement riders, and Politelli comes to the top of the list since they already worked with him that one time. And then the next day, the word comes out that Politelli is off of the team he was racing on, so... I don't know if it's just a complete coincidence. Timing seems awfully right.
Does Politelli have an agent? Do you think his agent got involved in there and it got really ugly?
Well, no, the Slayton team, although I think they were going to have some support from Yamaha, they were one of the smaller teams in the pits. They've been around a few years, but they're not one of the bigger efforts. So I don't even know if it would get to the point where they were doing that level of a high-end business negotiation for Slayton.
Now, Jason, you have your ear to the ground. You hear the rumblings. You know, Ken Roczen, that's big, big news. You know, you got Trey Kinnard, Millsap. What does that do to the picture? I mean, we know Bubba Stewart came out blazing in Vegas. You know, he looked like the guy we all want him to be. And does this make it a little bit more exciting on that end? Or Anaheim 1 starting to look a little shaky as far as star power?
Yeah, I think it has a big impact and definitely not in a good way. I think now everybody's probably nervous. You know, a lot of these injuries that had happened, a lot of them were 250 riders. And remember, they can choose to start the East Coast and they don't have to race for another 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So if a 250 rider gets hurt now, it's not quite as devastating. Maybe he can salvage the season potentially. But when a 450 rider like Millsaps or Kennard goes down, there's just no time. I mean, there's only 2 weeks left. So that's what makes these things hurt. It's not awesome. I think the only silver lining I could say is that it was Roczen's rookie year. I don't know if he's necessarily being, say, counted on to win a title. It was a year to learn, maybe get some wins and stuff like that. So if he loses some points by not racing the first few races, I don't think it's going to have a dramatic impact.
Well, Jason, I think with racing going live and what Fox investing so much in it, it's got to be disappointing for a lot of people all around not to have these young guns stepping in and shaking things up a little bit. But we'll see what Anaheim 1. Jason, thank you so much. You've been a stud the entire 2013 season, and I'm looking forward to the 2014 season with you, and I wish you nothing but the best this holiday season.
Yeah, same thing. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and all that to you guys as well.
Absolutely. And Jason, you know, who's your pick, just so we have it in 2013, for 2014? Who's going to win the indoors?
You're crazy at this point to bet against Villopoto. I think he's finally gotten the respect that he deserves, which is he's the man, and unless he screws it up himself, I don't see anyone ripping it away from him.
I don't either. My vote's for RV. Jason, thank you so much. Happy holidays. We'll see you next time in 2014 on All Action Sports Radio.
All right, boys. Thanks for having me.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own.
Put on your yarmulke, it's time for Hanukkah. So much Hanukkah to celebrate Hanukkah.
Man, Adam Sandler's awesome. Man, how he turned that into a song that now represents, you know, the holidays is beyond me. It kind of grew on me, and it's a fun song. And I'm glad we brought that crack staff here at All Action Sports Radio. Happy holidays to everybody out there. This is our holiday show. And I want to thank Gainesville, Ocala, WBXY 99.5 Florida for being a part of All Action Sports Radio. And Fayetteville, Arkansas, KUOA 97.7 FM for being a part of what we do here each week on All Action Sports Radio. All right, in our next segment, we're hooking up with producer-director Richard Yellen. We talked to him last week about his last film, The Inertia, The Martins 5. And it was so good, and he had a new film out called, I'm going to try and not butcher this, Sine Qua Non, The Psychology of Big Wave Surfing, a documentary he did with big wave surfer Greg Long. And you all know about Greg Long and what a tremendous, I want to say season that he had last year, where he almost died, but he like rose like a phoenix from the ashes and became, you know, the icon for big wave surfing after that. And this documentary, which is The Psychology of Surfing, Richard Yellen directed, and he's on the line with us right now. Richard, hi, this is Wes from All Action Sports Radio. Happy holidays, and welcome to the show.
Happy holidays, Wes. Thanks for having me.
Now, I know I butchered it, so can you please, for our listening audience, give us the title properly?
You did pretty well.
Oh, I did? Good.
Yeah, it's sine qua non. It's a Latin phrase, and that's the proper Latin pronunciation. And it means without which not. And the film is on iTunes for you guys to check it out. Sine Qua Non, The Psychology of Big Wave Surfing with Greg Long. And that's spelled S-I-N-E is the first word, Q-U-A is the second word, N-O-N is the third word, and then The Psychology of Big Wave Surfing with Greg Long. Basically, it's a Latin phrase which means without which not. So it's a philosophical term. Without big waves, there would be no Greg Long. Without Greg Long, there would be no big wave surfing. And Greg Long being now the big wave world champ, crowned 3 months after nearly dying at Mavericks.
Yes.
An amazing guy, and I'm happy to tell you anything about him.
Well, you know, let's jump off from there, where you just talked about that life-changing moment at Mavericks, where Garrett McNamara, another...
I'll correct you. It's Cortez Banks.
Cortez Banks.
Yes.
Garrett McNamara, world-renowned big wave surfer, 80-foot waves, the whole nine yards. He was surfing with Greg Long, and Greg almost died. And there was a big controversy in the surfing industry. Some people kind of blame Garrett. And Garrett actually had to write an open letter to the surfing community to explain exactly what happened. From your perspective in the documentary, what did Greg have to say about that moment in his life?
Yeah, I think what you see in the documentary is who Greg Long is, and really what we wanted to do is get inside his head. And how does he approach big wave surfing? What makes him put his life on the line for this kind of stuff? And to do that, we had to get inside his parents' head as well, like who are they and how did they raise him and what are his values and his morals and what's his approach to life. And we really get into the psychology of his approach and why he's dedicated his life to this pursuit of big waves. And why is he a pioneer leading the sport of big wave surfing, especially now paddling into 60, 80-foot waves, which is unthinkable, really in just a couple years ago would have been unthinkable without a wave ski. So, you know, I think from getting to know Greg, and for those of you who watch the film, you'll understand real well how Greg, with all of his preparation, was able to survive a three-wave hold down. You know, he'd suffered a two-wave hold down at Mavericks, and he punctured an eardrum, lost his equilibrium, had to climb his leash to get to the top of the surface, and where he was saved by Jeff Clark in a crazy rescue in the whitewashed in near the rocks. And we have that. You'll see that in the film. But it's, you know, he's been through this kind of stuff before. So to hear he had survived wasn't a surprise. But, you know, it's really the way he responded to it, I think, that's
well, the way really, he rebounded after that, you know, just the testament to get back into the water. We're talking with Richard Yellen. This is one of two films that he has produced about surfing, one of which was The Inertia, Martin's Five, Battle for the Beach. And now we're talking about his latest film with big wave surfer Greg Long, Sine Qua Non, the Psychology of Surfing. I have a question because I watched it and I saw this. His mom, she says, "I love you," and she wants him to be safe. And this guy is stepping into 100-foot waves. There's no way to be safe, and it's kind of ironic, and it gets into the psychology of this whole thing.
She says to him, you know, before he leaves, "Now don't do anything crazy."
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, to answer your question, Greg's just a solid guy. He's a family guy. He's like, you know, he's really eloquent and a thoughtful guy. And so, you know, when you think about him, his approach, especially at a place like Cortez Bank, where, you know, Garrett McNamara maybe took off in front of him and put his life in danger, Greg is his response to the community as well. You know, I survived through it, wave hold down. This is what I do. This is my sport. And, you know, I don't know if I'm going to come back to it. It's a big wave surfing. He said, "I'm done. I think I'm done. I've got a second lease on life. I don't want to do it anymore." That was one of his thoughts. But his other thought was take the high road with Garrett McNamara, show the surfing community that he is a leader and that they're out there in this pursuit, and it's part of what they – it's just the situation that happened. It's just one of the many situations that they go throughout in this frontier. I mean, it's like Cortez Bank is 100 miles off San Diego. It's like literally – it's one of the islands in the Channel Islands, but it's a sunken island. So it's like – literally it's like this sandbank out there in the middle of the ocean. So, you know, I think that Greg's response – to the surfing community after the Garrett McNamara incident out there at Cortez Bank is just exemplary of who he is. He's just a stand-up guy, and he's going to be a leader. And he's a leader in the sport of big wave surfing. And so he responded like a leader would so that they all could get back to business and continue to push their sport of big wave surfing without getting caught up in the finger-pointing. "Oh, you know, Garrett cut me off. Mm-hmm. He nearly killed me." I think that's, you know, once you know Greg Long, you watch the film, or you meet Greg, you'll realize that that's exactly how he would respond. You wouldn't think he'd respond any other way.
Now we're talking with Richard Yellen, the director behind Sine Qua Non, The Psychology of Big Wave Surfing, with Greg Long. Now, this documentary is available on iTunes, right? Our listeners can download it for, what, $9.99?
Yes, or you can rent it for 30 days as well for half the price.
Where can they rent it?
What's that?
Where can they rent it?
Oh, iTunes. It's all there.
It's
yeah,
on iTunes?
You can do a search on the name Sine Qua Non, or do The Psychology of Big Wave Surfing with Greg Long, and you'll find it quite easily. And it's you know, worth a half an hour of your time. To get to know Greg, I really so appreciative that I had the opportunity to interview him and spend days with him and his family, getting to know his family. I mean, his dad's a really interesting guy, and I think is a really indicative of, well, who Greg is, because, you know, the dad is like, you know, there is no fear of dying. he's like, you know, every moment in life is a miracle. And
which is the essence of that documentary, and it's absolutely amazing. Richard, thank you so much for being a part of our show, and happy holidays to you. And maybe we can get Greg to come on the show and talk about his experience.
I think that would be awesome. I'll let him know and see what we can do. I mean, I think, Greg's story deserves to be told and spread, and, you know, we really want the best for him. And well, you know, I think he's up for Nat Geo Adventure of the Year this year.
Okay, well, we'll reach out to him and see if we can get both of you back on the show. All right, you're listening to All Action Sports Radio. Next up, Ben Story last week. Guy butchered his name, a co-director and primary editor for Valhalla, here on All Access Sports Radio. Next. Hey, Richard. A Sex Pistols Christmas. I like the music you guys are putting together. All right. Coming up in our next segment, we have from Sweetgrass Productions, Ben Sturgis. Ben, I knew it. Ben, you're going to have to say your name for me. Go, Ben. Say your name.
Sturgiluski.
How you
doing, man?
He's the co-director. He's the co-director and primary editor for Valhalla. It won the Potter Awards, the 14th Annual Potter Awards. It won Film of the Year. And I got to tell you, man, this would be an amazing stocking stuffer, an amazing gift. Sweetgrass Productions did it. I am so impressed, Ben, by this film, Valhalla, right? I got that right, Valhalla, that mm-hmm. I mean, not only you won Best Editing, which absolutely deservedly so. I follow the Potter Awards since day one, and I can't tell you, listeners, go to our Facebook page, go online. It's Valhalla, Sweetgrass Productions, the best film of the year. I'm not going to say it's one of, hands down, and I'm not blowing smoke or jobbing you after seeing you accept your award naked like that. I just want to let you know that it was just badass, just straight badass. Whose idea was to come up with that script?
I was the main script editor, and we had, it was our whole team of four, basically kind of like collaborated for over a year to kind of put the whole story together. And, you know, as we kind of made it, you know, dealing with just conditions and, you know, things going wrong, you know, it eventually got diluted into what you see it is today. But originally it was a 50-page script that kind of ultimately boiled down to probably the 15 that you see on screen now.
It's just a beautiful, beautiful film. I mean, it's gorgeous to watch, the script, the editing, the skiers, the snowboarders. Everything's just well done from the opening segment of that beautiful little boy. Whose child is that?
That is actually, we work with a lot of photographers, and so one day it was snowing really hard, and we were like, oh, well, we need a kid. We need to kind of fill this role, and we're like, all right, how many kids do we know? Like, who's preschool? Do we have to, you know, go raid and steal some kids?
So you raided a preschool?
No, we didn't go to preschool, but we ended up working with this photographer who happened to have, like, this awesome, really cool, like, super hardy little kid who, like, came out and basically stood in the snow with us for a couple hours and you know, got soaking wet in the heavy snow and just made really incredible magic come to life.
Now, I'm a bit of a film geek. I made my bones making ski films way back in the 90s. I watched the cinematography on that thing. What kind of cameras did you guys use to make this film?
We shot the film on Red Epic. So it's the same cameras they used to shoot The Hobbit and all that stuff. So it really allowed us to really kind of take our cinematography to a new level. And we were pumped on how it all looked in the end.
Absolutely amazing. Let's get to the controversial, the fun, the exciting part where you guys accepted the award for best film at the 14th Annual Powder Awards. And you step from behind the curtains and all of you are naked. And you got like a shoe in front of your crotch. You got a hand in front of your crotch. And the place went wild. It was absolutely wild. Whose idea was it to come out there and with the clothes off?
Well, you know, we talked about it like, earlier on in the evening. You know, we really didn't think we were going to win. We didn't really think we stood a chance. And so we were kind of just like, you know, pipe dreaming like, oh, yeah, you know, if it happens, we'll get naked. And we were all like, okay, yeah, like, sure. No, that's not going to happen. And not in this lifetime. And then, sure enough, you know, they called our name and kind of it was just a snap decision. We all just started kind of screaming.
Started pulling your pants down?
I don't know who pulled their clothes off first, but all of a sudden we were just up there and really didn't even have any time to think about it.
Who was the last person you had to convince to pull their pants down?
Well, our the star of the film, Cody Barnhill, had a hard time getting his briefs off at the last minute there, but I think we got him in the end.
Now, the editor for Powder magazine is John Stifter. Were there any jokes in there? excuse me. Like Stifler from American Pie. It's just funny. The Powder editor is John Stifter, and you guys came out there nude. It was just hilarious to me. Now, for me, I thought it was kind of cool that you got introduced by the Blizzard of Oz, Greg Stump. Was that kind of a cool moment for you guys to be introduced by Greg Stump, one of the fathers of skiing movies?
Totally, absolutely. And, yeah, it's kind of cool for us to, you know, obviously, like, huge inspiration for us all around and kind of, like, full circle as far as our filmmaking careers, I think, because we came out with our first film back in 08, and I remember going to our very first film festival that our film was showing in, and he was showing, I think, like an early work cut of Legend of Oz or something like that, and we, you know, got to see him and meet him, and I remember thinking back then, it was just like, you know, this guy is just, like, untouchable. He's just, like, holy grail, and, like, you know, we're never going to, like, you know, be on stage with this kind of guy while he's, you know, doing his work, and then, you know, four yeah. films, 6 years later, like, you know, we're accepting, you know, best film from him on stage. So it was pretty awesome moment for all of us.
It is, and Stump is an awesome guy. I partied with him up in Whistler. He's a good man. Hey,
I'm sure he partied.
I'm going to try and get our producers to go another minute with you. Can I, Brian? Another minute. These guys are fantastic. Hey, Ben, the nude skiing was absolutely ridiculous. Whose idea was that, and how did you pull it off? I mean, it was just really cool. I mean, not because it was nude, just because of the way you guys shot it.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, the nude skiing, you know, came out pretty organically. I think basically we had never planned on doing that. And basically we would go out on days where the light was really gross. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't very beautiful at all. It wasn't snowing. The light was totally flat. And, you know, we'd look around and we'd have these athletes who'd come all over the world to, like, come here with us, but we can't get them any shots. And I'm like, all right, you know, like, I think the only way we're going to get a shot for you today is if you do it naked. That's the only way we're going to make it look interesting. So in a sense, we kind of blackmailed these guys into riding naked a lot of time. But soon they started to love it, and it became organic, and everyone was just, you know, totally down to take it all off and throw a flat spin or something.
Hey, Ben, you know, before we get out of here, that last moment in that film when you guys shot in the forest, that was epic. It reminded me of Mouse. Spike Jonze's when have you ever seen that movie Mouse, where they open the trunk of the car and then the guy pulls out the skateboard and he starts skateboarding through a forest? What you guys did with those skis was absolutely immaculate. I don't know how you pulled that off. How did you do that?
Well, we actually put, just the other day, we put online on powdermag.com a little behind-the-scenes six-minute feature on how we did that, and I'd encourage everybody to go check that out if they're interested. But long story short, we carted down a bunch of snow from the nearby glaciers and built these huge ramps out of plywood in the trees, suspended out of trees, and built landings, built these huge jumps, and then carted in snow, put it on top of the jumps, and, you know, they'd have to hit it in, you know, the hour or so before it melted. This is in the middle of July. And they would just launch off these madman jumps and onto these landings and pretty much go tomahawking.
It was absolutely brilliant. Sweetgrass Productions, the new film, Valhalla, winning Best Film at the Powder Awards. Congratulations on all your success, and I can't wait for your next venture. I am definitely a fan of you guys, and thank you for being a part of our show, and happy holidays.
Great, thanks so much. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, Ben. Thank you so much for being a part of our show this week here on All Access Sports Radio. Coming up, we have our Song of the Week and Surfing with Ryan Simmons. Welcome back to All Action Sports Radio. Here we're moving on into our surf segment, one of my favorite segments here at All Action Sports Radio. We team up with former WQS veteran. He announces the WCT and WQS events, and he is the current USA PacSun Junior Surf Team coach. He is our resident surf expert, Ryan Simmons. Ryan, happy holidays.
Yeah, same to you.
So we had a big epic win last week, and I know it feels a little old, but it's still relevant right now. When they announced a 9-7 from Mick Fanning, and he was standing at the water's edge, and he wept with joy. And then he was carried by the crowd, you know, to the heavens. How majestic was that for him?
Wow. I mean, you really couldn't have scripted it any better for him, I guess. I was watching down on the beach at Salt Creek. We had a little feed going on down there, and you know, that wave against CJ in the last minute or two, and then really to get that last wave against Yaden, I mean, I felt like that was the score, just with the moment and the drama, and it was a pretty crazy wave with a long barrel, and, I mean, what more can you ask for him, you know?
You know, obviously Kelly Slater was a little dejected. I mean, you can see on his face he was a little bit sad, but he was really gracious. I mean, this was supposed to be his crowning moment, his number 12. He was going to walk away into the sunset, and, you know, it's all over. Now he has to go back and rethink, do I want to do this again or do I want to retire? I don't know if he has it in him, but he won pipe. He's a pipe master. He won pipe. So I feel like as a athlete and a warrior, he might just come back again. What do you think?
Well, I think he's definitely coming back. He actually wrote a letter on his Twitter. I don't know if you've read it.
And no, I haven't.
Yeah, so he came out with a paragraph or two talking about, let's let it lie, Mick had a great year, I'm happy with my result, and I'm ready to come back next year, I think, and try and win the title. So pretty much he was kind of trying to tell everyone to let the controversy of was it the score or not die, you know, let's congratulate Mick on a good win. And so it was real gentlemanly and pretty cool, you know, for Slater to do that.
Well, when he was up on a podium, they did ask him, did he want to come back? Would he come back? And he said, I think that pissed me off just enough to keep going. So,
that in itself.
Well, Ryan, we're going to go to commercial. Stick around. We'll be back with more surfing with Ryan Simmons here on All Action Sports Radio.
Something for everybody. Little boys and girls, old folks and young ones, it's Christmas time, so let's have some fun. Mom's in the kitchen.
We wish you a reggae Christmas. We wish you a reggae Christmas. We wish you a reggae Christmas and a reggae New Year.
All right, wish you a reggae Christmas. I like that. You guys are doing great this year. All right, crack staff here at All Action Sports Radio. All right, we're back with Ryan Simmons in our surf segment, talking about Kelly Slater. Triumphant in the Pipe Masters. Mick Vanning triumphant his win over Kelly Slater. And let's not sleep on John Florence. The guy came out storming. And I think this was the year for John, right?
Well, I mean, it started out a little shaky with the injury, but I think he came back pretty strong, definitely, and had a great finish. So, you know, I think what we're really looking forward to is next year with the new season and all that, with the rookies or the younger guys coming up, Nat Young's, you know, Julian's, Gabriel Medina's, John's, and then, you know, these older guys, well, not really the older, but Parkos, Mick Vanning, Slater's, you know, these guys getting up there in years. So when is the takeover going to occur is what I'm wondering. Is it next year or 2 years down the line when the young guard really takes over? So that's going to be fun for next year.
You know what I read, what was kind of amazing, if you really think about it, John Florence was born in 1992, the same year Slater won his very first ASP world title.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that, the bookends of that, and then they competed.
Well, that just kind of speaks to Kelly Slater's longevity and obviously the talent he has. I mean, you know, probably the most talented athlete of our generation in any sport, you know, easy to say that.
You know, people say that. You put him up there in the pantheon of the Michael Jordans of the world, the Peyton Mannings of the world, you know, Pete Sampras, Tiger Woods, Kelly Slater.
I think you have to, and maybe he eclipses them, but I don't know, just based on surfing being, you know, subjective, so it's a little different than the objective sports where those guys are actually, you know, creating their legacy by what they do, and surfers are just kind of doing what they do, but then you're also being judged by the, you know, the five wise men up there. So,
but at the same,
and so it could always go the other way.
You know, but at the same time with Kelly Slater, he hasn't slipped. He's still right there with the best of them. And, you know, aging athletes, you sort of have to push them off that stage. You know, someone has to let them know, hey, you're not good enough anymore. You can't do what you did 5 years ago, 10 years ago. But Kelly Slater is right there. I mean, he was right there neck and neck in the thick of things. A break here, a break there, no pun intended, it could have went his way, right?
Exactly, and that's what he talked about in the letter. He didn't have his best run through France and Portugal, an exciting part of the tour, where usually he does pretty good. You know, I think he, what, got a 13th and a 9th, and for Kelly Slater, I don't know if those stats are correct, but he didn't do as good as Kelly Slater's normally accustomed to doing in the powerful hollow beach breaks of France and Portugal, and that's when he said he left the door, you know, kind of be open for Mick to, take a hold of his destiny, and Mick did, because Mick's that good. So actually, you know, will Kelly be able to, you know, draw again into the well next year, you know, because he's getting older and the ailments are going to get worse. So as these young kids rise up, so, I mean, the story is actually pretty cool.
I think it's a fascinating story, and it'll be one to watch in 2014. I said it, 2014. And Ryan, thank you for all you do for us here at All Action Sports Radio. 2013 was magnificent, and I look forward to doing more with you in 2014.
Yeah, I can't wait. It should be a great year.
All right, we have more and more and more coming up on All Action Sports Radio. We'll be talking to Age of Aquarius, a band that was featured on All Action Sports Radio way back when. And we're back here at All Action Sports Radio. And happy holidays to Columbus, Ohio, WCLT, 1430 AM station. Thank you for being a part of All Action Sports Radio. Hey, here's one of my favorite segments, our Song of the Week. And what makes this one special to all of us is that we had a band called Age of Aquarius. And when we first started out, before we even went national with our show here on All Action Sports Radio, Kai came into the studio with some of the band members. And they have a new album out. And it's called Sight for the Blind, and you can check it out on our Facebook page. And Kai's on the line right now. Kai, happy holidays, my man.
Thanks. Happy holidays to you, too.
All right, you have a new album out, Sight for the Blind, and a track called The All Beautiful that we heard in our production meeting, and it was absolutely awesome. And I would like you to have the honor of introducing our Song of the Week from Age of Aquarius.
Sounds good. This is Kai from the band Age of Aquarius, and this is our song, The All Beautiful.
That was Age of Aquarius. If you like that, you can check them out at AOA.com, or you can download on iTunes. Those guys have come a long, long way. They were with us in the beginning here at All Action Sports Radio, and fitting that they're here going into the end of 2013. And that's our show this week. If you like what you hear here at All Action Sports Radio, email us at allactionsportsradio@gmail.com. Our extended interviews, check out our podcast at allactionsportsradio.com. And, of course, you can go to audioboo.com. Then you can check out more from All Action Sports Radio. I want to thank our guests this week. Jason Weingant from RacerX Online, Richard Yellen, Sine Qua Non, The Psychology of Big Wave Surfing. I want to thank Ben from Sweetgrass Productions. He was a co-director and primary editor for Valhalla, Powder Magazine's Film of the Year. And let me tell you something, deservedly so. And Ryan Simmons, man, I love you, man, our resident surf expert here at All Action Sports Radio. Thank you for being a part of our show. And Kai from Age of Aquarius. And, of course, I can't thank anyone better than our fans. Thank you for being a part of our show. Soy Sauce Media, Mike Ling, Pam, Scooter, intern Jeff, and Tony. We did it, baby. 2013. All right, you're doing great, man. And of course, inspiration, happy holidays, and we'll see you on the mountain. Now go have a killer week now.